Hi, friends, and welcome. You are listening to the Mom Bear Podcast, and I am your host, Mary Susan McConnell. This is a place for women who are raising kids with special needs of any age, any diagnosis, to come together and talk about what in the world is going on in our lives. That includes the beautiful, the magical, the painful, the scary. And I hope that you will feel, and I hope my guests feel, that they are hanging out on my back porch. We aren't really. All my guests are from every area of the country and soon to be the world. So they are calling in, or I'm calling them. But my hope is that we can all kind of feel like we are hanging out on my back porch, having a beverage of your choice, and really just being ourselves. This is not a TED Talk. This is hanging out. And so before I get into today's episode, I want to very quickly address the explicit factor. So if you look at your phone and on every single episode that has ever come out, and this is episode 17, there is an E, which does mean explicit. And I have it there on every episode for two reasons. One is I want my guests and I want myself to talk the way we would if we were truly in the situation I was just describing. The second thing is that I don't want you to be bombarded, even if there's not any adult language in the episode. And oftentimes there's not. I don't want you to be bombarded and think, oh, crud, I really wish my kid hadn't heard that. That might make them feel nervous, or that might make them feel guilty, or that might make them feel like a burden when they are absolutely not. You know, I never know what your situation is. And so I just want you to know in advance that in case you need to grab headphones, grab headphones. Now, in regards to this episode, in about 15 seconds, maybe less, there will definitely be adult language. And if that means you do need headphones, you might want to go ahead and take care of that. You might want to hit pause now. But so there you go. That's that. The title of today's episode, and I had so much fun doing this one, is, oh shit, it's the first day of school. Common concerns and tips from an expert for special needs parents. I am not that expert. The tips came from an expert in the field of education who works with individuals and families of kids with special needs. But mainly, I wanted you to know that if you are feeling anxious, if you were feeling nervous, if you were feeling scared, or if you are feeling over the top, elated, cannot wait to go get a margarita, there are people out there who are feeling the same way, no matter how you feel. And sometimes it all wraps up together. Our school is unbelievable, and you'll hear me kind of talk about our situation. And so, guys, we had a great summer. We have fun, but we are eager to be back, and thank God. And so our first half day has happened. It went great, and we are very excited for the year. But that doesn't mean that I didn't come home and hold my breath for a few hours until I made myself go to a bookstore to kind of like decompress a little. There's so many concerns. And if you're at the beginning of a journey, like you haven't been to school yet with your child, then those concerns can feel really huge. Or if you are in a situation that feels stressful, like an uphill battle, then those concerns can feel even worse. And some of you are like, yeah, we tried that. It's going bad, or it ain't happening, or whatever it may be. So everyone's story is different. Some of us have really hard stories in regards to school. Some have phenomenal, beautiful. And my goal in this episode is to kind of just talk about all of it. I researched and I realized that as far as what's been written, as far as the very common articles that were very popular, there's kind of a theme about the top concerns that we have as parents for our kids with special needs when they are beginning school. And that was regardless of diagnosis. So I found that interesting that we all kind of have very similar concerns under very kind of broad but very real umbrellas. And we will end the episode with the tips that I have from my expert, and I'll talk more about her. She's a very good friend. I'll talk more about her in the episode about what we can do that's easy. And I didn't even ask her to send us easy tips, but I wanted them to be easy because how many things do we do that just don't feel, that feel really hard? And so I just said, you know, is there anything that we can kind of do as parents to make that feel better for us and better for our kid and make the transition easier? Is there anything that maybe we don't know and, or that parents who are beginning this journey might not be aware of? And so she sent back some really great tips, and they're all like really good and really, really easy to ask for and implement. And I think your school system, if you aren't already doing these things, they would be happy to, my hope, and I think they would be happy to go along with it because it would ultimately help them in the fall to make it easier. So point is, this is about school. And if you are a homeschooling family, God bless you and Godspeed. I hope you have an amazing year. I will be thinking of you and cheering you on, but this may or may not apply to you. I don't know. All of this was definitely coming from the standpoint of people who drop their kids off at school and then have to get in the car and drive away. Gulp. Okay. All right, friends, here we go. All right, top concerns. So I know that there are people listening that every single one of your stories is totally different, and you may be in a boat similar to our boat where we are just feel like we're floating into heaven with school. That doesn't mean it doesn't come with challenges. For example, kindergarten was exceptionally difficult for AB for a season, not the entire kindergarten year. We loved our teacher. We loved everybody. But her hip pain was very intense. And so every day was a challenge on how to have her comfortable enough to get through the day and to be able to do any work because we were not able to get surgery for many months due to needing to do things prior, like get her tone under control and a number of other things so that recovery would be a possibility. All that to say, we have had our challenges, and there are other people that have a whole different set of challenges where they are thinking, it's not about my child. It's about feeling like, you know, I've had friends who felt for years that they were in an uphill battle, that they loved the teachers. They definitely felt like their kid was safe, but ultimately, the ways that they spent their day and the methods they were using, they didn't feel were maybe appropriate or that they could be doing better. And so it just felt like this really tense situation. I have other friends who have exited the school system where they have gone and done other things because they felt like it was a better fit for them. And normally that exit, sometimes it's a happy one, but sometimes it's for a reason and that can be hard. So basically, what I'm saying is if you are in a situation that is hard or one that you're feeling like you are kind of in at least a challenging season with it, I'm just letting you know that there are so many people out there that get it. And I can understand that it might be, annoying to hear someone like me chat on about how great school is for us at the moment. And then at the same time, I want parents who are feeling like school in general is a scary place, or perhaps you haven't done it yet. Like I know before AB was ever in school, I couldn't hardly picture it. I mean, how was I even thinking how she was going to, what her day was going to look like? Was she going to have one-on-one help? I had been a teacher, a middle school teacher in a different county. And I still couldn't picture it. And being able to speak with other parents who were a few years ahead of us in the journey, even in different districts, who were having really great success stories and really great seasons and years at school, helped me because I could ask them, okay, how does your child who's also tube fed eat lunch? You know, what does that look like? And they'd say, oh, the nurse helps her. Oh, okay. That makes sense. Okay. That's a possibility. Like, I just never knew these things. And so getting to talk with them about their successful stories helped me in those years before school began to, A, kind of loosen up the anxiety around school, and B, kind of know what to ask for or think is a possibility as we entered that zone. So that's why I try to do my best to say the positive and say the negative so that we get kind of a full rounded picture of this whole school thing. And I never want anyone to feel that if you're in a hard spot, that I'm brushing over it. Because if you are in a hard spot, that's hard. That's like tough as hell. I'm so sorry. I can't imagine what it's like feeling like every day you're kind of going to battle and that you don't have like advocates by your side going in with you for this thing called education. And so I hope that it will get easier for you. I hope that something will shift. I do know I have friends that they had a really hard year and the next year was really, really great. And again, I'm honoring wherever you're at, and I'm not advocating for anything except that you do what you know is best for you, and only you know that. So for some of us, that's homeschool. For some of us, like us, that's public school. For some of us, that's private cohorts or tutors that come, and we do a number of different things. So, or a combination of all of these things. So all that to say, I'm going to be speaking about the 6 concerns that I found. I'm not saying this is a scientific study, that in my research throughout the week that I found that were pretty common for parents of kids with special needs. So here we go. Number 1, will my child be heard and understood? I thought that it was so amazing that this was a general concern, regardless of diagnosis. So some people whose child is nonverbal were very concerned about this. Other people who felt that their child, perhaps due to some limitations in social interactions and how they respond to people, they felt like maybe they wouldn't really be understood. So the possibilities of ways that this applies to you in particular is endless. But I felt that that was such a universal concern. Will my child be heard and understood? And I know that from, just a personal standpoint, because AB, our daughter, is nonverbal, how that is truly something that we have all worked together to know that when she is doing this, it means this. When she's doing that, it means that. This is how we can help her. And that is a process. And I'm so grateful for the people in our world that have helped us in that process, that are open to, that are always her biggest advocate and cheering her on. And for people who feel like they're going into a system kind of naked without those people, my hope for you is that they will appear and that they will be strong and fierce and beautiful and wonderful and good for you and your family. Concern number 2, and I think this one's really interesting, because it goes both ways. Concern number 2 is, will my child be too challenged? And in the same breath, will they not be challenged enough? So I know that some people feel really concerned if their child has a special need, but they aren't in the boat where they need perhaps one-on-one or a teacher's aid. And so they are in a typical classroom, hearing lessons in a typical way and with the rest of their peers. And their concern is often, is this going to be too challenging? And then is it going to cause you kind of shut down because it feels out of your element? Or then would that cause behavior problems? I mean, the possibilities here are endless. But I know a lot of people feel that they're concerned that it will be too hard. And then will there be a support system? Will that be something that we have to fight for? Those kinds of questions. And then on the flip side, some of us are worried, some parents are worried that their child won't be challenged enough. That's typically in the field where parents have kids who are considered severely, maybe they have severe special needs or profound special needs. A lot of times, parents express a concern that their child is not being pushed. And it reminded me of a story that I had heard a while back. It was an interview that I watched, and I found it so fascinating because a little boy had been in school for many years. At this point, I believe he was in like fifth grade, and he was nonverbal. And he had been in a self-contained classroom for his entire school career, and they were having a very hard time communicating with him. And basically, it was just this like random, it was like that one thing unlocked, that one device, that one moment in time, they found a connection, a key to his language. And all of a sudden, through a device, he was able to express himself. And what everyone was very surprised by was that he was completely on par with his age level peers. He knew everything they did. He was communicating in the full sentences and in the way that they did. And when they asked him about school, he said, in so many words, I'm paraphrasing here, I'm really tired of being treated like I'm in daycare and nobody's challenging me. And so I found that interview years ago, way before, it might have even been before I was a mother. And that always just really stood out to me to always be aware. And there's been two or three other stories that I have found since of other individuals in the same boat where all of a sudden they were speaking and even their parents who knew them better than anyone else were, excuse me, so excited and also kind of horrified because they realized, oh my gosh, we've been treating this child like an infant when they are actually 16 years old. Or in one case, a young man was in his 20s and he was speaking in a way that all of a sudden people realized, oh no, we've been treating him like he's so much younger than he is. And so I think that's a fear, irrational. It's totally for a good reason. A fear that parents often have is that their kids, due to their special needs, will be kind of seen as incapable, even if it's an unconscious thing, and therefore they won't be pushed. And so I've always appreciated, on a personal level, that our teachers really push AB and they expect her to work. And they very much know the difference between I don't want to work, I'm not in the mood to work, and I'm exhausted. And I really just don't have it in me right now, or I need rest. My friend Allison Bynum, who's been on two episodes, we were kind of talking about the same thing, where your teachers, how lucky you are when your child's teacher really begins to understand all the little things that equal either I'm just not in the mood, which is not acceptable, you're at school, you got to work, or this is too much for me right now, for whatever reason. Perhaps a lot of us have, you know, for AB, she may have been up all night. No fault of her own. Her brain just was up and awake. And so that may make the next school day kind of difficult. And because they know which is which, they are able to continue to push her. And so I've always appreciated that they see her as her 7-year-old self and keep challenging her in that direction. So I found it super interesting that was a kind of a universal concern. Number three, which I think, if anything gets your blood boiling and your fierce mama bear out, it is this one. Will my child have friends or worse, will they be bullied? Gosh, you know, I see why that's a concern because there is bullying and a lot of kids feel alone and isolated in the lunchroom. And so this is not a make-believe concern. This is real. And if you're in a situation where that's the reality for you at the moment, I am so deeply sorry. My heart breaks for that situation. I also have just know that I am like fiercely angry for you about that. And my hope is that it won't be like that forever. My hope is that it will shift, that things will change, that someone will come out of the woods and be your child's just amazing best friend, that an advocate in the group of peers will say, you know what, this is really not cool. That is my hope for you. And my hope is also that you have a staff or teachers that see that and know how to handle it well. And I also want to say that that's not always the case for our kids. You know, I think early on, I remember two friends telling me, and I honestly hadn't even thought this far. I hadn't thought about it, but they were like, if you're worried about AB having friends, I just want you to know that we were really worried and she has a lot of friends. And then another friend said the same thing about her daughter. And I so appreciated getting to see kind of, you know, years ahead of what that could look like. And that is the case. That is the case. AB does have good friends and she is loved well. And we always just love getting to see her with the kids that really appreciate her and are around her and talk to her and love on her. But I will say, if you aren't in that situation, you know, I really enjoyed my conversation in the last episode with Iz Harris, who is amazing. She is a mom of two. She's a travel filmmaker, and her family's on the go all the time. And she was describing a moment when she was at the park with her kids and her son, who has autism, was being, to his face, made fun of, and what that moment felt like and how she responded. And we talked a lot about that because, you know, when you're in the moment, sometimes you can feel like your hands are a little bit tied. And I loved how she said her first concern was just get her kid out of the situation. You know, that was her first thought, was let's get him out of here and let's kind of talk to him about it and see what he understood from that and let's go from there. And then the next question is, well, then what do you do about it? And in her situation, it was very unique. They were in a foreign country. There was a language barrier and the kid's parents weren't there. So there's honestly just not a lot you can do about it. But in some of our other situations, it might feel like, you know, everyone's situation is different. I'm not even going to generalize it. I'm just going to say that's painful. That's awful. I'm furious for you. And Godspeed. I mean, you know, I was talking to Iz about it, and it's like at the end of the day, you know, you, all the things you're visualizing on how to handle somebody messing with your kid are not exactly legal. So it's a hard, hard thing. So my heart is with you. Number four, and let me say real quick before I move on, number four, again, even if you're in a hard moment, and if you haven't ever been in a situation where your kid could make friends, my hope for all of us, is that someone will be there to make them feel like they have a friend to be with, whether that's in the cafeteria or the playground or a field trip or excuse me, at the park, whatever it may be, that they will feel they have a friend. And so that's my hope. And I know it's a possibility. So number four, support. Will I and or my child, so will everyone, the whole family, feel supported? I think this is so important because there's two things here. They are blasting near my house. They're building a new development. So if you just heard that, have no fear. The dynamite that is pretty consistent these days. Okay, so feeling supported. This is a big one because parents have to feel supported in the realm of advocacy of what they think is best for their kid. And sometimes that can be really confusing. You know, I've been on the side of being a teacher in an IEP meeting and being a parent in an IEP meeting. And everyone, I think, typically, and my hope again for you is that everyone's trying to find the same goal, which is what can we do that's best for the kid? And a lot of times I think parents come with this catalog, this back catalog of information that they know about their child. And sometimes it's hard to express that in a meeting, and or they are expressing it and they're expressing it well, and perhaps they don't feel heard. You know, I have friends that have had many friends that have had to go the route of finding an advocate in the county to come to meetings with them because they didn't feel like people were putting enough weight on their words. And I hate that. I'm thoroughly thrilled that that's a possibility and that there are these avenues and routes we can take as parents. But I just hate that that would ever have to be needed, That's my point, is that I hate that. But when you do feel support and you're all kind of on the same page, just what magic can happen. Because you have all these people who have an expertise in different areas working together. And so that's my hope for you. And just as many people, you know, a lot of my friends that had to get an advocate 1 year, a few years later, they're having the best year ever. So things can shift, things can change. But my hope for you, especially if you're at the beginning of this journey, is to know that the possibility that you're going to have magical, amazing, knowledgeable, strong, compassionate people on your team is high. That is a real possibility. I see that again and again with people all over the world. And that's certainly been our case, is that our school and our team from day one, from preschool on, has been incredible. That being said, if a parent feels like they aren't being supported and they aren't being heard, it's very likely that a child feels the same way, because whatever the parent is advocating for is something that the child probably does need. And so they are feeling unsupported in their own way. So it's a family affair. And again, I hope we all feel just radically supported. And if we don't, that we do, you know, do take up the measures that you need to go through to make that change. Because a lot of times it fixes it. A lot of times it does. I'm not saying always. It may be a big old cluster, but a lot of times it does work. So that's my hope for you, is that you feel supported and heard. All right, the fifth one. So we've had heard and understood, challenged in the right amount, friends are bullying, supported. Number five is safety. Will my child be safe? Or will my child feel safe? And these are big ones. And I think this is when it comes down to, do you trust the people your kid is with? And if you do, then you have to rely on that trust, because you could spend your entire life in this place that isn't necessarily, in my opinion, the healthiest place, where you are, how would I say this? Where you are kind of catastrophizing every moment. But if you have people that you trust, and again, that is my deepest hope for you, is that every single person on your team is someone that you look in the eye and you feel really good about, and that you can know in your gut and in your heart and in your mind, and you know that they are trustworthy people. And that's really all you can ask for, and that the school is safe in general, and that somebody is always around your kid so they are never alone, and that you feel like it's a good environment. And my guess is that if you didn't, you probably wouldn't have them there. So my point of even bringing this one up is just to say, if you are worried about it, you are not alone. That is a huge concern. It is a huge concern. And the last one, number six, which I think is really interesting, is one that a lot of times we don't talk about, because so much of the time we are in like proactive mode, you know, like pushing forward and forward and fighting for our kids and advocating for a number of things, that we sometimes don't talk about the other part of us that is worried that a problem might be caused by our child. Let me give some examples. I know some of my friends are worried when, I have many friends who are worried because of their child's sensory meltdowns or challenges, that is affecting the rest of the classroom, and therefore it's affecting other learners, and they get worried about that. I know when I get a call and I can hear Abby crying, I'm a former teacher. My question is always, how can I help her as soon as possible? And then in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, how many classes are hearing her right now? You know, what is that like? And other people may be worrying about their child's emotions, if they're going to act out in anger. So those questions of, is my child causing a problem? Doesn't mean that you're thinking my child is a problem. Of course not. You are thinking, I don't want the rest of the school to be disturbed by something. And you don't want it for everybody else, and you also don't want it for your kid. You know, you don't want your child to be the one that is known for causing a disturbance. And so that is a very common concern. So if you're feeling that, you are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. Now, those are the common concerns. And I reached out to my friend, good friend from many, many years. Oh, gosh, I met her maybe, I met her through my husband, golly, 14 years ago. And that is the amazing Ashley Dinkle. Now, Ashley is an expert in the field of special education. And a few bullet points about her career. She spent 4 years as a third through fifth grade autism self-contained teacher. She spent 2 more years doing the same thing for high school, ninth through 12th grade. And she is currently an autism program specialist, and it's where she goes and she assists autism teachers and their students throughout the entire county. She is absolutely phenomenal. She is just somebody that you want to be around for every reason. She is fun, she is smart, and she is just a fierce, fierce advocate for our kids. And so I asked her, I said, you know, is there anything, could you send me in some tips, something that could help alleviate the stress for parents and could also help the kids and could also help the school system? Like, is there some things that people can be asking for that perhaps they don't know are a possibility or may not have thought of? And she wrote me back in literally 90 seconds. This is how great she is. And she gave me a lot of great ideas and I love them. So I'm going to give them to you. Also, bonus points, all these ideas are easy. I think I didn't ask her for easy things, but I was like, please don't send something hard. Please don't send something hard. Please don't let it be another form to fill out. Please don't let it be another packet. Please don't let it be another doctor's visit. Because how many of these things do we do all the time? And I want it to be easy. And all these things are super, in my opinion, super easy to implement. And things that I really think your school system, if they aren't already doing, would, I think they would be eager to let you do it. So here we go. First of all, she says, and I'm going to be kind of paraphrasing as I go here, that she said, typically we provide a couple of choices for parents to provide a successful transition for their students. One of which is to get tours throughout the summer, school tours. So she encourages families to have their child come in and practice the route. Practice going from one class to another, memorizing the school, seeing everything before they're bombarded, especially if they have any challenges in the arena of sensory issues, before they're bombarded with lights and noises and a million people, they can kind of get a grasp of what that will look like. During that time, she encourages parents to be taking pictures. Take a picture of this classroom. Here's us walking down this hall. This is how you turn here. I love that. And then at home, they can go through these pictures. In addition to that, they will often, I'm reading here, some parents ask for a social story so they can see pictures of the staff members at the school that they will be working with, their teacher for speech or therapist for speech, OT, PT, nurse, principal, etc. We also ask our teachers to make a passport for the future teacher, and I'll explain that in a second. But I love this idea of getting actual pictures of who they will be working with so that they can be, over the summer, kind of mentally preparing for the what they learned in the tour of the school, even if you do this every year because your classrooms change every year. And I'll be talking about what we do here in a second because we do something similar. But I love the picture idea where you can be going over the pictures. This is my speech therapist. This is my teacher. And kind of getting those things familiar prior to just being day one. Oh my gosh, so much to learn. I'm going to skip down a little bit where she said a meet and greet can be very crowded and loud. So this allows a more sensory friendly experience for our students. Totally. We always skip the open house at the beginning of the year. I'm sure it is super fun. And I remember as a kid loving it, but I know for AB it may not be, but it's just something we don't feel like risking, that the re-entry into school be super challenging sensory-wise. So we have always asked, can we come a day or two before school, whatever works for y'all, and kind of meet our new teacher and go back into the building? everyone has always agreed immediately, said yes, absolutely. And they give me some times and we pick a time. And like we just did it this week or last week, the day before the half day. It was amazing. We got to go back in the building. It always is. And we get to go see our teacher, meet our new teacher, say hello to old teachers, and kind of practice the route. And that not only helps AB kind of get back in the groove of school, and she was super excited, but it really helps Sean and I, because even if it's, you know, we've had the best experience every year, our school is heaven, but it doesn't mean I'm not still like a little on, you know, a little anxious about it. Not worried, but just like, you know, school day jitters, same thing. And I want AB to feel at home. Sometimes she has a hard time in new hallways and new lights, and I want her to feel comfortable. So that's kind of my concern, is she going to be comfortable? And so getting to practice that ahead of time is huge, and especially getting to practice it without hundreds of other people walking by you and they're trying to find their room, and that can just be a lot. So I love this, and I love that Ashley said that too, to, you know, ask, can you skip the meet and greet and have a private tour? And she even included maybe a few times, maybe more, whatever is a possibility to get used to that. She also says in here that they get to practice their walk from the bus, like through their whole day, to start with the bus. This is where I get off of the bus. This is where I'm going to do the cafeteria. So it's not just, here's your classroom, but it's from the beginning of the day, like minute one on campus. Let's start there and move forward to the last minute on campus, which I think is so, so great. And then the passport she talked about, she says the passport gives a little more information than the IEP will give. Likes, dislikes, facts about their family, and favorite activities. This helps with the first couple of weeks to build a trusting relationship with the teacher and the student. I love that. And she sent a copy of this passport, and y'all, it is amazing. But it asks the questions that are a little bit more personal that may, like she said, may not be in an IEP. And she actually, she told me I could do this. I'm going to read you the questions in case you want to create your own. So the first page looks like a passport. Then it says, important information about me. My name is, next year I will be in grade blank, and a place to put your picture. At home, I live with, dot, dot, dot. Next page, I am really good at, dot, dot, dot. Next page, I am really interested in. Then I need help with. Sometimes I don't like it when I'm not feeling right, it helps when. I'm looking forward to the next school year because, and that's it. And I think that's such a cool thing. It's such a great way to kind of get some of the info that may be informal info, but maybe really, really important info. So I think that that is so very cool. So y'all, here's the deal. My hope for you and for all of us is that we just all have a magical, phenomenal, transformational, successful school year. And I'm with you. I am thinking of y'all. And I so appreciate you being here. I so appreciate you being here. If you would like to find me in other places, I hang out on Instagram quite a bit. That's my favorite social platform. I can be found at Mary Susan McConnell, MarySusanMcConnell. And from there, you can click the little drop-down menu, and you can go to my website. You can sign up for my newsletter, which comes out on Fridays. And I would just love to see you there. Also, if you're enjoying this content, I would love it if you'd hit subscribe on your phone or on whatever device you're in. Perhaps you're listening on a computer. And if you are willing to take a few seconds, happy ratings and happy reviews mean so much, not just to me personally, although you would have no idea. You should see the cheers I do in the kitchen when when a nice one comes in. I'm like, oh my God. But for people who are thinking, oh my gosh, I need to find someone who's living a life like mine, they may be searching terms like special needs, things like this. And the more ratings, the more reviews, the higher the likelihood that the search will lead them to us. So that's why I always ask if you would consider taking a few seconds to do that. I would so appreciate it. And guys, here in a funny moment of real life, I am getting off of here. I'm going to hit stop. And then I'm going to go pick up Abby, who just finished her first full day of school this year. So my little excited nervousness is coming back up, where I am very eager to hear how it went. So y'all, we are in this boat together, and I wish you an incredible 2018-2019 school year. If you're listening to this in the future, whatever year you are coming from, I wish you well. All right, Godspeed, y'all. I will talk to you next Monday.